there's always something about the start of a new year that there's this buzz, there's this excitement, there's this sense of expectation hanging in the air that this year, that this season is somehow going to be better. Well, not somehow, we know that God is in control, but it's going to be better. And I don't know how your last year was or how it ended for you. Maybe it was the best year yet, or maybe it was the worst year, or maybe it was just an okay year. I mean, normal is the new normal, you know. But a new year brings in a new hope. It brings in a sense of a fresh beginning, to turn off to the page, and you just feel this fresh grace for this new year, this new season that God has for us. And that irrespective of how last year was, that 2025 holds so much in store for you. And my prayer for you is that may 2025 be the year that you grow in what God has called you to. May 2025 be the year that if you know that God has called you, but you don't fully know to what, that God will reveal to you His plan and purpose for your life and give you direction. May 2025 be the year that you realize that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Because I can tell you that Scripture teaches us that when God calls, He guides. When God calls, He provides. When God calls, He leads. When God calls, He gives the plan. He gives the structure. He gives the blueprint. And when God calls, He is by your side every step of the way. That this morning we will look at the life of Noah to reflect on what I've just said, that God saw that Noah was a righteous man in a world that was very unrighteous. And God called him to be His instrument to build an ark to begin anew. And that the sermon is for you if you have started this year without a plan, direction or structure. The sermon is for you if you have a few New Year's resolutions and you are determined for this year. And the sermon is also for you if you have started this year with a plan and you have structure and direction and everything is in place for you. The sermon is still for you. Father, I pray that may the sermon come and speak to our hearts. May You open our hearts and our minds that we can hear what You are saying. Father, and I pray for fruitful soil, that this message will land on soil that is cultivated, ready and hungry to hear Your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, may You be the water that come and water the seed of the sermon. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. And as we get ready to read, can I ask someone to switch a light for us? And if I can quote Genesis 1, let there be light, and there was light, and amen. And I want us to read, and before we read, I want to encourage you to, when you go home and you find some time during the day, that you go and you read Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. That you be filled in with the whole story of Noah and his life in the ark and the flood. But this morning I want to stand still at a few verses from chapter 6 verse 9. And we're going to read about the life of Noah, that when God called Noah and what transpired around the calling of Noah. And I'm going to read from verse 9 to verse 15, and then I'm going to skip a few verses and continue. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was so corrupt, for all flesh had so corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and to cover it inside and out with them to pitch. This is how you are to make it. And God gives Noah the blueprint. God gives Noah the plan. Noah, this is what you are going to do, and this is how you are going to do it. Here's the measurements, here's the things that you have to do. And from verse 17 we read on, and for behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come in to the ark, your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sword into the ark and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. And now God goes on to not only give Noah the measurements for what he has to do, God gives Noah the plan that what needs to happen with the animals and the food, because there has to be life after the flood. And then God gives that, and we read verse 6, verse 22, and we don't know how much time transpired from God giving the blueprint or the instructions for what Noah had to do, but the very next thing we read is that Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Now, there's a lot happening in these verses that we need to backtrack a little bit, but one thing that I want to help you with is that when you read through the book of Genesis and you read this phrase, these are the generations, it means that Moses is moving from speaking about one thing and he's moving to the next. And in 6 verse 9, he's speaking now about the life of Noah. And after Noah comes, these are the generations of the next and the next. So when you see that, know that we are shifting from one topic in Genesis to the next. But let's look back about what happened in Genesis leading up to this very point, that the world was so wicked, so evil. It's saying here that and that every intention and thoughts of man, his heart was only evil continually, except for Noah. He was found righteous. Noah walked with God. And we see in Genesis 1 and 2 that God created and he gives order to creation. He gives a structure to what he created. There's a design, there's a purpose. And God saw that it was good. And when we move to Genesis 3, we see that things are not so good anymore because man rebelled against God and corruption entered. The effects of sin entered humanity. And when we read Genesis 4 and 5, we see sin, corruption, and death growing, and we see the reality of sin. That you see the decay of Adam lived for so many years, and then the one next to him lived a little bit shorter and shorter and shorter, and that's, you see the decay. Up until we come to Genesis 6, where it's saying, increasing corruption on the earth, so to the point that God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Now that's what leading up to these verses that we've read. And now moving from that, which is what I want you to go and read at home, what is happening. But let me fill you in for the sake of this morning's sermon, because I can't read all the verses to you, even though I would like to. But God calls Noah to build an ark. And then Noah obeys God and builds the ark. And Noah and his family and the animals, they go into the ark, and rain starts, and it rains nonstop for 40 days and 40 nights. And those of you in Gauteng, you surely know how it feels by this point, because it's just raining and raining and raining, but there's no floods. I don't see my neighbors building arks or anything, so I know we are safe. Someone is hearing God this morning. But water prevailed on the earth for 150 days. That's a big flood. And then, so we have 40 days raining, 150 days, the earth submerged into water, and we see that God remembered Noah and made a wind blow over the earth. And for another 150 days, for those that's accounting, we are well over 300 days now, and for another 150 days, the water subsided from the earth. And then 40 days later, plus another 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he built. And after 7 days, the earth was dried up and they exited the ark. And then after that, something significant happens, that Noah gets off the ark and he gives a burnt offering to God. He honors God, he glorifies God. And God promises that never again will God strike down every living thing. While the earth remains, there will be day and there will be night, and it will never cease. That's the promise we have from God. As long as there's an earth, day and night will not end, because God sustains life. And what I find significant of this flood and Noah and the flood is that There's a lot of significance that we can draw from the life of Noah, that we can have a whole sermon series just on Noah, because there's so much. But what I want to quickly reflect on is to say that we see God's sovereign, His sovereignty over all creation. He can begin a flood, He can end the flood. He can preserve life. God is in control over creation. We also see Noah's obedience to God. And after the flood, we see that Noah offers a burnt offering to God, honoring God. And we see God's grace, judgment, and His divine plan that will bring forth our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That when I was reading up and preparing for the sermon, that many theologians, they say that the ark and Noah is a image of Christ to come. That God started anew with Noah and his family through the ark, but there will be an ultimate Savior, Jesus Christ, who is a descendant of Noah, obviously, that will bring the ultimate salvation to all humanity, to all humankind. But what I want to focus on this morning is something that I've not found reflected on. And when I see something that someone have not reflected on, I get a little bit wary, because I'm not going to be the heretic that comes up with something new. But I feel safe that I can share this, and you will see why. Because when God called Noah, and I'm sure other people have reflected on something similar, maybe they did not use Noah's life for this, but when we reflect on God calling Noah, the one thing that is standing out to me and that I felt God press on my heart is to share that when God called Noah, God gave the plan. God gave the blueprint for Noah to follow. And where I'm standing here, guys, I can tell you that I thank God Noah followed that plan. It's evidence we're standing here that he did. Because I don't think, maybe, I don't know how much civilization have evolved in the thousands of years between Adam and Noah. I don't know how well they build boats. Noah being the only ones who survive, I mean, kind of tells you what their skill level was in handling this flood. So what if God called Noah and said, Noah, there's going to be a flood. Prepare your family. You need to survive this. And Noah goes out of his own toolbox and he builds a boat. I don't see God telling Noah before the flood started how long this flood's going to last. So what if Noah went on his own skill set, made his own plan, designed his own boat and saying, yes, this is going to do it, and then God says, yeah, but there needs to be all the animals, and then Noah's like, I think this is the end for us, you know. But what is interesting is when you read up on history, that if this flood is such a significant event, you will see something similar in other origin stories. And there are so many stories that go back to reflect that there was a global flood. But when we come to the Word of God, we find the true account of what happened. Because we know that the Word of God is true. But then here's Noah, God is calling him. And God does not leave Noah to his own demise in his own skill set. God gives Noah the plan. God gives Noah the structure. And there's something that I'm sensing God saying about structuring your life in this year. Finding structure, finding a blueprint to what God has called you for in this year. And that's what I want to expand on, because when God called Noah, God also gave Noah the details. God gave Noah the how-to guide and to accomplish what God called him to. I mean, if I was Noah and God just said, there's going to be a flood, make a plan, I would not know where to start. I would not make it. But God is so gracious, and that when He calls you, He gives you a plan and a structure. He does not call you and say, oh, okay, you were called, but there's no plan. No, He gives the plan. But maybe the problem is sometimes that we don't hear from God what the plan is, and maybe we do hear from God what the plan is, but we don't want to follow in God's plan. But I'm jumping myself ahead. But God gave Noah the design to follow, the plan and the provision he needed to accomplish all that God called him to. And I actually want to show you a slide of, I don't think this is very accurate. I think there was a little bit more detail and a little bit more size to the ark, but this is as good as I could find. is how big the ark actually was. There's a you can go on YouTube and you can Google the Ark Museum. It's in America that some people, they went on and they took it on themselves to, according to the measurements, they build a life-size ark that you can go to and you can visit and you can walk in the ark. And it's just amazing, mind-blowing how big this thing, this vessel was. And it's almost annoying that when you walk into any good Bible shop and you go to the kids section, you find many books on Noah, but it's this little boat with these elephants like almost like hanging over the edge, and there's no room for six animals. But that's the depiction what kids are exposed to of the ark, and it should not be that way. They need to see this. They need to realize that this is real. This happened. It's not a cartoon image of some elephant squeezed into a tight little boat. That's not the ark. That's the ark. It weighed 14,000 tons. That's heavy. That's heavy. If they measured, these guys, they measured it. There's no credentials, but you can go do your research on the ark. You'll be blown away. But he said, God, when God gives the plan and the blueprint, it's made to sustain you for what God has called you to. God will not call you to a calling and give you a plan that will not be sufficient for what he has called you to. God gave Noah the blueprint and the structure to survive a year in a flood. It's just when God gives the plan, it is sure it will not fail. And it's that God gave this plan to Noah to build an ark to save humanity, and continuing God's redemptive plan to save humanity that would ultimately bring forth our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us on the cross so that we can be reconciled back to God. Now, none of that would have been if God didn't give a blueprint to Noah and say, this is what I've called you to. Here is the design. Or maybe if God gave the blueprint to Noah and Noah decided, I'm gonna take some shortcuts. I'm gonna go in YouTube how to build my own ark. I'm gonna go and read what so and so says about arks, and I'm rather gonna do that about building an ark rather than following what God is giving me. And that what we can draw from all of Genesis thus far is that God is a designer, he is a builder, he is a creator, he's a giver of life. Nothing exists without purpose. And when God gave you life, he gave you purpose. That with that purpose, he gives you the blueprint. He gives you the manual in how to fulfill what God has called you for your life. He's given us his word. He's the testimony of his word. And he gives us the Holy Spirit who is with us and in us, who is our helper, to help us accomplish what God has called us to. And as you grow in your relationship with God, God will begin to reveal more and more of his plan and purpose that he has for you, because if you are alive today, you have a purpose. Omo kalebaka. You are here for a purpose. You are here for a reason. And you are here for a purpose. If you are alive today, there's something that God has in store for you. There's something that God has in store for you. And not only did Jesus come to die on the cross so that we can have life and life in abundance and being reconciled back to God, but he also gives you purpose. And with God's call on your life, he gives the blueprint. And when he gives the blueprint, you follow his plan. If you waver from it, who knows where the cracks will begin to show. But God is so gracious in coming to help us, to sustain us, and to guide us when we fail. But the trouble starts when we begin to follow our own plan. When we start to design our own way forward, and when we carve our own future and saying, God, I see what you're saying and I hear what you're saying, but let me rather go and do this. When it's not in line with God's blueprint for you, you might find yourself struggling to move forward. Or you might move forward in what you have created for yourself, but you will not find fulfillment. And it will always be the next, the next, the next, the next. Nothing will satisfy you other than God and a relationship with Him and following His will. And we do it sometimes. I mean, sometimes V and I, when we get something and it needs to be assembled, I get all excited. I throw the manual aside and I begin to build this, what we've got. And halfway through, most of the times I realize, where's that manual again? Let me see the blueprint on how I need to build the shelf or whatever it is. It happens. I mean, us men, we have this pride in us that we believe we know better than the designers. I know better than the guy that created this thing. I know how to assemble this briar without anything. And then you end up with four side panels lying there with some screws and bolts. You're like, maybe it's spare. I don't know. 1 week later, the whole thing falls flat. I don't know. Has it happened to you guys? It almost happened to me because I read the manual at the end. So. But we do this. We think we know better. We think we can do it our own way. That we can educate ourselves in the area of calling rather than studying to be discipled. And I'm thanking God where I stand that Noah didn't respond that way. That he followed the manual. That he followed what God's saying. And just the other day, V and I, we were driving to where we were on holiday from one side, and I was confident that by now I know the route, and V asked, do I need the GPS? And I said, no, I think I have it figured out. And only to drive in a circle and needing the GPS anyway, because now we have this pride in us that, you know, sometimes it's just best to follow the manual. Put on the GPS, let the lady guide you. Let God guide you in the route He has you on. And when we steer off God's route and we repent and we turn back, God reroutes us to where we should be. Maybe it will take a little bit longer because along the detour we maybe pick up some damage. I have a friend, and I'm not going to mention his name, but they took a shortcut on holiday and end up with three burst wheels and some damage to the side of the car. And like, well, they reached the destination, but they picked up some mud along the way, and it delayed them a little bit. You will get where you're going, but there will be some things along the line that really could have been avoided if we just stuck to the route that God puts us on. But God reroutes us because when He calls, He gives a plan, and He gives the direction, and He gives the Holy Spirit to be your helper. You are not alone. God does not call you to your own demise. He calls you into His will so that you can rely on Him and be sustained by Him through the Holy Spirit in you. That if you are sitting here and you don't have a plan, or you don't know what your calling is, and you don't know what, I can tell you one thing, and if you can take away this morning, that God is the one that will give you the blueprint for what He has called you to. As long as you have breath in your lungs, it's not too late. And I think, and I could be wrong, and I'm more than happy to be wrong in what I'm going to say, but I think one reason why we sometimes drift away from God's design is that we think we have it figured out when we don't. Or another reason could be that we struggle to trust God. Or there's another reason that we have been en route following God's plan, but doubt got the better of us. And I get doubt. I go through it a lot. Sometimes I question, am I really called to be a preacher? I mean, I would like to believe that you are here every week to listen to my voice for an half an hour because I have a beautiful voice, but I think there's a little bit more to that than just that. But it sometimes happens that I doubt. God, did you really call me? But then God reminded me the other day that I was 13 when I wrote my first sermon, and I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just saying that God is the one that put the desire in my heart to preach. I did not, at the age of 13, decide I wanted to be a public speaker, stuttering so much that I could not read a sentence in class. That's not me. That was not my dream. I'm glad it's God's dream. And when I was young, growing up, when everyone asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, a dominie. And they looked at me funny. Now I know why, but I'm here. God's grace. But when you doubt God's call on your life, never make decisions based on your doubt. Don't make a decision while you are wrestling with doubt. Pause that decision. Because if doubt leads you, God is not leading you. When you doubt God's call on your life, don't make a decision based on doubt. Make decisions in line with God's call on your life. Even in times of great discouragement, remain rooted in what God said. Because if you know God has called you to a direction and He said go to that in that direction, but now you doubt, continue to choose the direction that God called you in, irrespective of your doubt, because God will deal with your doubt. You are being human. When you doubt, you are being human, and God is far greater than the emotions and the discouragement and the doubt that you could ever face in the call He has on your life. He's much greater than that. He's much greater than that, because He gives the blueprint that will sustain the wildest flood that you will ever face in your life, and you will face and you will land and you will get out on the other side, because God gave the blueprint. He will not fail you. He is with you. And I want to almost end off with reading Philippians chapter 3. I've shared it at the end of last year, but I just felt it so applicable to share as encouragement, because maybe last year was a year where you picked up a lot of unnecessary damage, a lot of unnecessary things. Maybe last year was the year that you let go of a lot of stuff that you should have let go of. But I want to share this with you from the words of Paul in Philippians 3 verse 12 to 16. He's saying, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Let go of last year. Let go of last week. For that matter, let go of this morning when you maybe got angry at something or someone not working the way it should. Let go of what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Because what lies ahead is God's design. What lies ahead is Jesus standing on the other side, already knowing the outcome of what you were going through. You just need to follow God's route. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Isn't that just beautiful? That when you are mature, you think this way of looking forward, letting go of what is behind. And here's the beautiful thing. Even if you don't think that way, Paul is saying that God will reveal to you only let us hold true to what we have attained. What we have attained is hope. What we have attained is Jesus, a relationship with Him. Him coming into our lives, setting us free, giving us purpose, making us whole. That's what we move forward to. That's what lies before us. When God called Noah, He guided, He provided, He gave the plan, He gave the structure, He gave the blueprint. And when God calls, He is by your side every step of the way. May this year be the year that you grow in what God has called you to. May this be the year that if you know God has called you to something, but you don't fully know to what, that God will reveal to you His plan, His structure, and His purpose and direction for you. And may this be the year that if you don't know, that you know and that you realize that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And I can know that based on just looking at the very nature and character of God. Because God creates with purpose. Nothing that is created is without purpose. Even that blue blast here at the ocean that stung Nathan. That blue blast here has a purpose. It's in the ocean for a reason. Even although I think it does not need. But God knows far better and far greater. Because He is the creator and the author of life. He's a God of structure and order. And when He calls you, He gives you what you need to do. And if you don't know what that is, I have four practical steps. Grow and continue to grow in your relationship with God, because God will speak and reveal His purpose to you. Secondly, pray that God will reveal His plan for your life. And step three, follow God's plan. And four, I just added in that when you drift away, repeat step three. Just go back. Just go back. Just go back to following God. Repent and turn back. Repent and turn back. Father, I thank you that we can be in your presence this morning and that you are speaking to us through the life of Noah, Father, that we know that when you call, you give direction, you give structure, you give purpose. And I pray that you will come and do something in our hearts and in our lives this morning. And that there be a release of divine favor and grace over our lives this morning. That we will come to realize, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And outside of you, there's nothing for us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen.